Hi, this is Christine Duvivier, and thank you for joining me in the first episode of A Breath of Fresh Air. So, today, what we're going to talk about is dyslexia, a gift in disguise. And I'm going to be talking about it with Simone St. John. And we're going to talk about a couple of different things. We'll definitely be talking about Ron Davis's book, The Gift of Dyslexia. Hey, oops, I got to turn off my own. Okay, got to turn off my own speaker. So that's where I first learned about this gift, is in Ron Davis's book. But to back up for a minute, I want to talk a little bit about like breath of fresh air and what this show is all about generally. And so there's a set of gifts that I call the gifts that conflict with school. And it's research that I did. You can learn more about it if you want to on my website. But basically, there was a tragedy with a young man that I knew. And I decided to look at gifts and strengths in kids that are not in the top of the class. So I looked at the bottom 80%. And out of that, I identified this set of gifts that I call the gifts that conflict with school. And one of those is the gift that actually underlies dyslexia. So that's why we'll talk about that today. But in a broader context, there's a set of gifts and there's several myths about education that make people think that students have learning disabilities or they have motivation issues, that they're dumb. When that's not the case at all. What's happening is that there are these gifts that aren't recognized, aren't understood, and frankly, we're asking kids to fit into molds that don't fit them. And so when you do that, it ends up squelching the gift. And what I'm finding is that, and I've been working on this for about 10 years now, and what I'm finding is that young adults, but also even adults, even successful adults, often don't understand that they have these gifts because they're so used to the models that tell them that there's a certain way they have to learn and a certain way to be smart. And if they're not doing those things, then there's something wrong with them. So that's the overall context of our show. And today we're talking about dyslexia and the gift that underlies that. And I think Simone St. John is going to be calling in. Simone does not have dyslexia. Simone is actually a Harvard graduate, which I'm sure there's plenty of people with dyslexia that are Harvard graduates too. But Simone is an artist and a writer, and she is curious about this whole thing that's going on with these gifts and with dyslexia. So, when she calls in, we'll start talking about it. But meanwhile, let me talk for a minute about Ron Davis's book. It's called The Gift of Dyslexia. And he actually has dyslexia himself and sort of figured out some of what was going on underneath his dyslexia, which I think is absolutely amazing. And I happened on his book when I was visiting a friend, and laying on the coffee table was this book, The Gift of Dyslexia. So I pick it up and I start flipping through it a little bit. And all of a sudden, I'm seeing some things that look a little familiar to me related to one of my kids. And the main thing that came out of it, I went back and just like asked my daughter a few questions. And the main thing that came out of it for me was that I discovered that my then 12-year-old daughter, maybe 11 or 12-year-old daughter, thought in pictures. In fact, the way she said it's like a movie running through my mind all the time. Well, I had no idea because I had never asked her, how do you think? It doesn't occur to me to do that. Like, we all assume we think the same way, right? In fact, I have an adult friend who came to one of my talks. It was a talk about the myths of education. And she came to me afterwards and she said, you know, I had no idea that everybody else didn't think in pictures. that's the way I think. I always think in pictures. And I had no idea that that wasn't everybody's way. So, you know, it's really interesting because we don't usually ask each other, like, how do you think? What does it look like when you think? But that's a key differentiator in dyslexics, is that ability to, not just ability, it's this gift where they think in pictures. So the reason that people think it's a learning disability is because we think, and I always thought, I'm somebody, by the way, I think in words, right? So it's linear to me. It's words, it's logical. I am not someone that thinks in pictures. And so for those of us that think in words, we think that reading and writing are the best ways to communicate. And in fact, in our society, we almost make it seem like they're the only ways to communicate until you're about maybe 20, 22 years old. And then we bring in the fact that speaking is so important, certainly like in business contexts and some other contexts. But beyond that, you know, we seem to think that the best learning takes place through reading and writing. And so if you have that as an assumption, then when somebody thinks in pictures, then they're not going to fit into that mold, because when you think in pictures, it makes words very difficult, because words are not pictures. Words are not symbols. And what Ron Davis explained is, like, if the word is cow, well, you can picture a cow, so that's not so hard. But if the word is the, if the word is extrapolate, if the word is conceptual, those don't have pictures to go with them, right? And so then there's nothing for somebody who thinks in pictures to hang on to. But I think even more than that is the idea that he raises that words are linear. And typically, do you know how fast the average person reads or writes? It's typically, oh, wait a minute, let me just see here. I just want to make sure if, nope, okay. I thought in the chat maybe Simone was in there. So typically in words, we read and write, you know, on the, depending on the person and how fast, whatever. Let's say it's somewhere between 125 and 300 words a minute, somewhere in there. So if you think about the idea that a picture's worth what? How many words? 1,000 words. Then how many pictures do you process in a minute? I don't actually know, but I would guess you might process 10 pictures. I think you'd process a lot more than that. Maybe you process 30 pictures in a minute. I don't know. But let's just call it 10 for sake of argument, which is a really low number if you think about it. So that would say if a picture is worth 1,000 words and you process 10 pictures in a minute, that's about 10,000 words a minute. Compare that to reading and writing 100 or 150 words a minute, and you can see how it's orders of magnitude difference in speed. Like if you're processing pictures, you're processing much, much faster. So if you want to call in and talk about this, the number is 516-453-6073. Again, that's 516-463-6073. And I'd love to talk with you about this. Okay, so Simone is online trying to talk, but it isn't registering. And calling in isn't working. So I'm sorry to hear that. Let me unmute my mic on my PC for a second, Simone, and I'm going to see if we can hear you. Hold on just a second. Simone? Simone? All right, well, that's not working either. Well, Simone, you know what? We're going to do something else. I'm going to try. I'm going to try conferencing you in so that we can get you on the line here. So just bear with me a second. And let's see. Here we go. Okay, so meanwhile, I would just ask you to stop and think for a moment about your own thinking process. And how much of the time are you thinking in pictures and how much of the time are you thinking in words? Because some people say they do think in pictures at certain times, but some of us really think predominantly in words, and then some people think predominantly in pictures, and that is a gift. So I'd like you to think for a moment about what does the term learning disability mean to you? And I'm going to try to get Simone in here. Hi, okay. So let me make sure that this is coming through. Is this coming through on the show? Let's see. There we go.
Yeah. Hi, okay.
Great. So I'm glad we have you on the line. Just speak up because it may not come through quite as clearly on the show as if you dialed in direct. But thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And I know you're calling in from Denver today. How is the weather there in Denver?
We just had surprise snow yesterday, so now we're waiting for it to melt.
Oh, gosh. Okay. April
30th. It snowed all yesterday and the day before.
Wow. That's even worse than Boston. That's very funny. Although I know you've had some beautiful weather out there. So love to hear what's on your mind. Related to this topic of dyslexia or even learning disabilities. Anything coming up for you as we're talking about this?
I think for me, the one question I have is right now is going forward as, you know, a regular person, how do we take away that stigma of dyslexia and how should we reframe it and give it a definition that it doesn't have that stigma. I know that, you know, if someone was a parent and you said to their child that they have dyslexia, there's a lot of resistance toward it. But if you're saying that it's something that, you know, has an underlying gift to it and we can look at it in a different way, how do we do that reframing?
Oh, thank you. I love that question, Simone. I wish I had planted that question. It's such a good one. Thank you for that. And I didn't plant that question, just so everybody knows. This is
right.
Completely off the cuff. But I do love that question about reframing. Yeah, so for me, this is about the conversation about gifts that conflict with school. And for me, this is like my personal belief based on my own research and like working with kids and adults for these past 10 years. And before that, I had worked, I mean, I still do work with very successful business leaders, some of whom, you know, are labeled dyslexic sometimes. But the thing I think is that first and foremost, it's this idea that we have to understand that there's a lot of mythology about education. And we're not going to talk about that too much today. I do have it on my website. There's articles about it. They're absolutely free to learn more right away. But the idea that there's a learning disability here is the first fundamental that I'd say anybody, a parent, teacher, coach, counselor, adult, has to understand. This is not a learning disability, right? So just the name dyslexia. It comes from dys, meaning, you know, not, right, like dysfunction or dissing somebody. Mm-hmm. And then lexia, with lex being the root word of words, right? So I guess that's from, like, the Latin or the Greek. You probably know that stuff, Simona. I don't. But, yeah, so right there, that label says there's something wrong with you, right? You don't do words. so you're dyslexic. So right there, drop the label and understand mm-hmm. that it's not a learning disability. Now, here's the dilemma for a parent or for anybody, really. So if you get the label and if it is a learning disability, quote unquote, then you usually can get extra help. You usually can get extra resources. There are even special schools, which I think is terrific. All of that is terrific, the extra help, the extra resources, the schools. So, you know, you may have to use the label in a school setting, but for your personal use, I would say you start using the term gift. And the gift that underlies this thinking in pictures is visioning. It's thinking in pictures is what the gift is. So, as an example, there's a guy by the name of John Chambers. So have you ever heard of Cisco Systems? You might not have.
Yes.
Oh, you have. Okay. So it's a huge technology company. I haven't checked lately, but the last time I looked a few years ago, it was like a $40 billion company. I don't know where it is now. But so John Chambers has taken Cisco Systems from $2 billion to $40 billion, right, in the last, say, 20, 25 years. I mean, just enormously successful. He was talking with a group of employees and their families one day, and this little girl stood up and she said, you know, tears came to her eyes, and she said, I have a learning disability. And he went over, he leaned down, and he said to her, guess what? I have a learning disability too. I'm dyslexic. And that was the first time he had ever told anyone publicly. Now, here he was, the CEO of this wildly successful company. But that pain and that shame, it carries forward in adults. And it's the reason sometimes, like, our kids, you know, will be struggling and not telling us what's going on. So here, John Chambers, why is he so successful? Well, the way he describes it is he, and by the way, there was a Forbes article about him about maybe 10 years ago or 12 years ago. No, it was a little more than that, 12 or 13 years ago. But he says he can picture in his mind's eye how things are going to play out in his industry. It's like a three-dimensional chessboard. Like, that hurts my brain. Can you think about that, Simone? I don't know. You might be able to think about that. Like, that hurts my brain to even try to picture a three-dimensional chessboard. But he said he can see how it's going to play out 7 steps in advance.
Wow.
Isn't that unbelievable? So that's an ability. It's not a disability. It's an incredible ability. And it's an ability that can make people so successful in so many different walks of life. So that's something that I think as a parent or as an adult or as a student or as somebody that works with students, I think that's really important to understand, that it's this gift. It's not anything that's wrong with the person. It's actually a gift that's misunderstood. Go ahead.
I wanted to tack back a little bit to what we were talking about in terms of kids getting extra help in school. And the question I was thinking of is, do you think that it's detrimental for the kids with dyslexia to use extra help in school? Because what if they become dependent on it? And then how do they transition to the adult world where there isn't all of that help? Or when you're in the adult world, how do you get help if you still feel that you need help? Because I don't know that we have a system in place for people to navigate the adult world with dyslexia.
Yeah.
How does that transition work?
Yeah. Well, thanks. Those are really good questions. I'd say, so in terms of getting the extra help in school, I don't see anything wrong with that. As long as the student is really clear that there is nothing wrong with him or her, that this is just a misunderstood gift, And that, yeah, school is set up to ask you to read and write. And I think most kids want to learn to read and write. But to understand that there's nothing wrong with you if reading and writing don't come easily to you. It doesn't mean you're dumb at all. You are brilliant. You have genius. It's just not understood. So once they understand that, then, you know, I sometimes say to people, it's like with school what happens is we give you a grade, right? So we say, Simone, if you learned to read that paragraph of that book really fast and then you were able to write a paper about it relatively quickly or write on the test about it relatively quickly, we're going to give you an A and we're going to say that you're smart. And if you didn't learn it quickly or if you struggled with it or you had trouble with it, you know, we're going to give you a D and we're going to say you're dumb. But if you think about learning in other areas, like I love tennis, right? And so when I go to the tennis pro, oh, my gosh, it is taking him so long. I mean, he must be so frustrated because I'm learning completely different strokes from what I had learned before because I'm trying to take my game up to a whole new level. And so I have to relearn the strokes the way I used to do them. And my brain and my muscles, they keep going back to my old way of doing them. So like little by little, over months, I've been getting better at these new strokes. But I'm not getting graded on them. Nobody's saying to me, you know, Andrew's not saying, Christine, you get an A for this, or you're getting a D. You're flunking out because it's taking you so long to learn this. And I have other students that are learning it much faster than you. No. He simply says, okay, turn your shoulders a little more. Yep. Now drop the racket there. Oh, get the elbow off the body. Okay, don't forget to finish up high, right? So he helps me course correct. And if that's what we're doing with a student, which is what a lot of what's happening in the extra help area, that's fantastic. It's when we get into saying that there's something wrong with them because they didn't learn it as quickly or they struggled more, that's where it's really not understanding that they have a gift and that they don't have a learning disability. And what I've found is that they're perfectly capable of learning. They just do it differently. They just learn it differently. And by the way, I still can't think in terms of three-dimensional chessboards. Right? But John Chambers can.
So the question I have is, do you think that we need to expand the types of schooling available? Because I'm thinking about you have these children that are dyslexic, and the idea now is, well, let's bring in extra help for them. And I'm thinking one of two things. One is, well, maybe just, you know, different schools would be more beneficial than bringing in tutors to try to get them on board with the way that we're traditionally taught. In other words, maybe there needs to be a whole revamping of the way the children are dyslexic children are educated. And so they should, you know, have a school that caters to that. And the other thought is maybe children without dyslexia could actually benefit from being taught by whatever system is created that would benefit a child that has dyslexia. In other words, if they're seeing in pictures, if they're seeing in this broad way, if there's all this imagination and so on being brought to them, maybe that would actually be of benefit to other children.
Yeah.
That perspective.
I love that perspective, Simone, that second perspective. So let's go back to the first one for a minute. So, yep, there are alternative schools, for sure, and there could certainly be more. And I think there's a lot of different ways to go at this. I mean, personally, that wouldn't be my preference necessarily. My preference would be, and part of it is because, you know, I've learned from teachers, but from life and from everything else, that all different kinds of diversity adds a lot of richness to every environment, right? So I love your idea of like, hey, other kids could benefit from learning in ways that appeal to people with the gift of visioning, right? But by the way, there's six other gifts that conflict with school, not to mention some other gifts that maybe aren't in conflict with school, right? But there's a bunch of different ways of learning. So I think, and it's more than, and I love Howard Gardner and the multiple intelligences, but this is more than that because Well, this gets into a whole other conversation. But I guess what I like the idea of is, yes, there are alternative schools, and I think that's fantastic. But I think the more important, okay, in the broad scope of things, I would love to see us rethink how we think about education. And that's going to take a little bit longer. But in the meantime, in the smaller scope of things, for an individual young adult, for an individual parent or counselor or whatever, then I think being really clear that you have a gift, that you don't have a disability is number one. Okay, we've got 90 seconds left. And then I think understanding that everybody can learn to read and write, but reading and writing aren't everything in life. And just losing this whole emphasis on there's certain colleges that are so much better, and if you don't go to those colleges, you won't have a great life. And, you know, all that kind of thing, which are some of the myths of education. If you can let go of that and say, hey, I have gifts that are going to take me places in life, that's what I think is, in the short run, really the most powerful. So we have less than a minute to wrap up. So, Simone, first I want to say thank you so much for being here and putting up with the technology glitches. any last thoughts from you before we wrap up?
No, I think this is really enlightening, and I really appreciate the idea of viewing dyslexia as a gift and that it's really an expansive perspective that we should embrace and that to our benefit. You know, the founder or the gentleman with Cisco Systems to come in and utilize his gift in such an awesome way. We need to heed these kids more. You know, we need to pay attention to them more. So I appreciate this. Thank you.
Thank you, Simone. Thanks for listening. This is Christine Duvivier, a breath of fresh air, and I hope you'll join us again next time. Thanks for listening. Simone? Hey, I was just calling you back on the other.